Chapter 1, Down and Out in Chicago. I begin my memoir at a time in my life when I was living in a friend of the family's garage in a Chicago suburb in the dead of winter. Living in an unheated garage in the dead of winter in Chicago is not a good thing, by the way. That garage was freezing, and I was freezing. I slept on a mattress on the floor, and I can still remember waking up in the morning and running my fingers over my frozen hair. I swear to God I remember that little detail, even though it happened almost 40 years ago. The other thing is that garages are dirty, and I was dirty. I had zero money, I didn't have a job, I had no prospects, and I was sleeping on a filthy, dirty garage floor, so I guess you could say that I was down and out. The year was 1981, and I was 28 years old. I was good-looking, I was intelligent, I came off well, and I could sell. When I dressed the part, I looked and acted like the real deal. You see, about 2 years prior, my father, who owned a manufacturer's rep business that sold stainless steel pipe and tubing to distributors, had hired my brother and me to work outside sales. First thing my dad did was to take me to Brooks Brothers in downtown Chicago and buy me a navy blue summer weight wool Brooks Brothers suit, some white Oxford button-down collar shirts, and a pair of black wingtip shoes. I'll always be grateful to my dad for not only knowing how to dress well himself, but for passing it on to me. He also bought my brother and I each a brand new Chevrolet Caprice Classic car. He trained me by taking me on sales calls with him until he thought I was ready to make sales calls on my own, and pretty soon I was calling on customers by myself and was well on my way to having a successful career as an outside salesman in the family business. Then one day after making sales calls near downtown Chicago, I went to a bar in the city where an old high school friend of mine was bartending, and he served me free shots of ouzo until the wee hours of the morning. And on the way home, I crashed my brand new company car into a taxi that was on my blind side, as I was blind drunk at the time, and I decided that it would be in my best interest to take off because I sure as hell didn't need a DUI. Well, that's called hit and run, my friends, and a pretty serious crime. I was told later that the taxi had chased me for 3 or 4 miles down Lakeshore Drive until I was able to lose them. I was also informed that the passenger in the taxi happened to be a lawyer who was going to make goddamn sure that I got what was coming to me, and that he did. The next day after the accident, I had my car fixed on the sly, around $900 damage, so that my father would never be the wiser. Then about a month later, I was calling on Central Steel and Wire, or some such company, and before going in, I had called the old man to see if there was anything I needed to know before making that sales call. And his reply to me was your car involved in an accident a month ago? He told me that he had received a letter from the Chicago Police Department saying that my car had been involved in a hit and run, and that he was to appear in court on such and such a date. I mean, I had no choice but to admit it, so I told him yes, and he told me just come back to the office. About a half hour drive, and so I did, and he proceeded to fire me. I was never rehired, by the way. I'm guessing that he figured that since I was an alcoholic and was probably never going to quit drinking, this sort of thing would happen over and over again, so no point in rehiring me. Know what I mean? We did go to court, by the way, and I remember everything got settled in the hallway of the courthouse between the lawyers. I never found out any details of what went down, and I never asked, but I'm pretty sure significant money changed hands to get rid of this thing. Anyway, here I was living in an unheated garage in the dead of winter in Chicago, and that wasn't on purpose, by the way. I mean, hell, a month prior I had a decent job, a decent apartment, a beautiful wife, and a precious one-year-old daughter. But then one night I came home drunk, as usual, and my wife of 2 years had had enough. She had had her fill of living with an abusive alcoholic who had no intentions of quitting drinking. No normal person, by the way, can live with a drunk, especially a mean-tempered, self-centered, abusive drunk such as myself. So she grabbed our one-year-old daughter and left, just like that. My parents lived a few blocks away, and she moved in with them, and they welcomed her with open arms. As for me, I was persona non grata and not permitted to go anywhere near her or my parents' house whatsoever. I had alienated everyone in my life, including my parents. And my lovely wife and I never did get back together again, as she had made up her mind that I would never change, and you couldn't blame her because it didn't look like I would ever change. She had just had enough. Anyway, that's when I really hit bottom and sort of spiraled downward. I mean, even though I was an alcoholic, I still loved my wife and baby to death. Alcoholics do. Alcoholics still love their kids and wives, but our wives can't live with us, and so they leave. When they left, I was devastated. My daughter was only one at the time, and to be separated from her absolutely killed me. After they moved out of our apartment, all I did was drink. I remember I didn't even sleep in our bed because it reminded me of my wife and it hurt too much. So I slept on the couch in the living room. I was miserable. At the time, I had been working for a company called Hitachi Metals as an inside salesman, but I didn't really like the job. So after they left, I just didn't go back to work and instead did nothing but stay in the apartment all day long and drink. I stayed in that apartment until the end of the month and I couldn't pay the rent. So I contacted a friend of our family and told him my situation, and he offered me his unheated garage to live and sleep in, which I did, even though it was winter. Let me tell you, when you write a book about your life, you start to question things in retrospect, such as why our family friend didn't invite me to stay in his house. Why the garage? Does that tell you anything? I didn't think about it at the time, but I do now. Writing a memoir affords you that opportunity. Anyway, I guess it had, I had hit a pretty low bottom, i.e. no money, no job, no family, and sleeping on a garage floor. My father once told me a story that when he was a boy, he and his uncle Sonny were driving around Manhattan in New York one day, and they happened to be driving through the Bowery, otherwise known as Skid Row. And when they passed a bunch of bums sitting on the sidewalk and drinking booze out of brown paper bags, my dad's uncle turned to him and said, "Joe, those are broken men. Have you figured out yet that I had a serious drinking problem?" I was told early on by my father that I was an alcoholic and that alcoholism was a disease and was passed down through the genes, and that his grandfather, Fritz Carlson, originally from Sweden, had passed it on to him, and that he had passed it on to me. By now, I had drunk my way out of 3 colleges, 3 jobs, and 2 marriages. So it wasn't merely bad luck or anything that I ended up on that garage floor, broke, jobless, and alone in the dead of winter. But it was the fact that I was an alcoholic and I was just like those Skid Row bums that my dad and his uncle had driven by that day in the Bowery. I too was a broken man. End of chapter.